This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Good morning. Now, I've skipped breakfast because on this special Woman's Hour programme, I'm joined by three wise chefs who are going to cook a very special festive feast with a twist, which means for the first time ever, I will have eaten Christmas dinner before 11 a.m. And the best bit is, I didn't make any of it. Allegra McEverdy, chef, broadcaster and co-founder of the natural fast food joint Leon. You're doing the main course. Good morning, Allegra.
Morning, Emma.
You got your knives?
Got a knife in hand.
You ready? Yotam Ottolenghi, the Israeli-born chef and restaurateur who's changed our relationship with vegetables forever and saved many of my dinner parties. It's right, you're on the sides, aren't you?
Yes, Emma. I'm going to make some wonderful Brussels sprouts.
Okay, good.
And other things.
Okay. And Trina Hanneman, the Danish chef who travels the world preaching the joy of Scandinavian cooking, flown in especially for us today to cook. And you're making the dessert, which I believe doesn't involve any dried fruit.
That is true. That is true.
OK, good promises. Plus, if that wasn't enough, we'll hear from one of the Women's Hour 2014 Powerless Game Changers, Laura Bates, the 28-year-old founder of the Everyday Sexism Project. And we'll find out what it's really like to clean a stately home in the 21st century. So, tell us what's on the menu. I should say, I'm sitting in the middle of a beautiful feast here already, but there's some cooking going on. Allegra, you're on goose. You're not going for turkey. Why is that?
Well, I always do a goose because it's just much more flavourful. As you know, goose fat is legendarily good for everything from, potatoes. It's just essentially good flavour. Turkey hasn't got any fat, and the fat's what you need to make it taste good.
And that's why it can be so dry sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, it's got no calories, but it's got no joy either, really.
What I love is you're standing with your legs about 3 metres apart while you chop.
That's because this table is about 4 inches off the ground, and I'm going to do my back in.
You're doing some splits there. OK, your time. You did tease there. You're doing some sprouts for us. Now,
yes.
not a favourite to many. Why are you doing sprouts?
Well, I think sprouts were just, like, miscooked for so many years. And I am not going to boil them. There's not going to be a pot of boiling water there. In actual fact, I'm going to just cook them in a pan, quickly flash fry them with a bit of olive oil, and then mix them with some wonderful things, caramelized garlic with balsamic vinegar. And then there's going to be some lemon skin in syrup and basil. So, you know, completely transform the whole idea of Brussels sprouts. I hope for many who kind of can't stand Brussels sprouts, they'll be converted. And then I'm going to make a root mash with celeriac and pumpkin and sweet potato. And that's got to have some pie lentils kind of folded through to kind of accentuate the look. And some shallots that have been cooking very slowly in red wine and finished with some butter.
As always with an Ottolenghi recipe, being a fan of yours, there are lots of ingredients that I hope I'll be able to find easily.
Yeah, no, I just don't want to make your life too easy. You know,
no,
that's
I know
my
that.
Mission in life. So,
know.
You know, if you had it too easy, you'd be bored.
Exactly. All right. Well, Trina, I did say no dried fruit. What are we having for dessert?
We are having a really traditional Scandinavian cold rice pudding served with a hot cherry sauce.
cold rice pudding with hot sherry. So, okay, I am remembering school days here slightly, some sloppy school meals. It's not going to be like that, no?
No, not at all. I'm going to change the Brits' relationship with rice pudding from today, I promise.
So we're changing
the
sprouts.
You do the rice pudding, I'll do the sprouts, and, you know, the sky's the limit.
We've basically had to import some people from other parts of the world to sort out our Christmas meal, apart from Allegra, who's keeping it British. Okay, Allegra, you are now at the cooker, as I was saying, and we've got the goose. Tell me a little bit about the prep of it, because I should say you had to start it at home slightly earlier, right?
Started at home. There is no oven here.
But yeah, okay, all right, all right.
We've got two induction hobs. I can't cook a goose on
No, I should say let's cook, because if you are a big fan of Breaking Bad, we aren't cooking crystal meth, we are cooking food.
This is legit, though.
Tell me about the goose, though. What did you do?
Last night, in between episodes of Breaking Bad, I made a stuffing. Stuffing's one of my favourite parts of Christmas lunch. And I do lots of different kinds, but over the years, this is the one that I've come to rely on, and I call it my golden herb stuffing, because it's just very, very light and very not heavy and chestnutty. I just think, like you, too much dried fruit at Christmas time, too many apricots. And I know you love an apricot, Yotam, and all that kind of thing, but, you know, I just think...
I can do without the apricot.
I just think, you know, well, you know, there's too much, and the prunes, and, you know, it's also brown, and so this is a really nice light stuffing.
So you made the stuffing as well last night. Do you put it inside the bird?
Yeah, I'm making a backup stuffing now so that there's some nice smells and things, but there is actually stuffing already in the bird, cooked.
Because some people don't put it in, do they? Do you always recommend
some
putting it in?
Some people don't put it in.
Is that...
It's
how
true.
How could that be a stuffing?
It's just 10 a.m, come on.
just repeated your words. So don't put it in. The reasons for not putting it in are, A... If your stuffing is vegetarian and you have vegetarians round at the table, because obviously then they can eat it, so that's nice for them. Also, if your stuffing contains sausage meat, then there's less chance that you'll kill people, because there is an issue around internal temperatures when you stuff a bird.
Right.
Because basically, you know, carcass goes like that, the meat's on the outside, stuffing's in the middle. So the meat, in order for the stuffing to get hot, you basically have to overcook the meat.
So why do you stuff the bird?
Well, I do it because I like the fat dripping into it. And I try, it's very meatalicious. It's also, you know, there's a clue in the title. It's called stuffing.
Yes, yeah,
that's where it should be,
thinking,
really.
Yeah. So bring me on to the goose then. What did you do to this? Because I have to say, it's very succulent. I've never had goose, knowingly, so this is going to be a first for me. It's quite orange looking as well. So tell me about that.
It's quite orange looking.
Yes.
It's actually a fake goose.
No, it's not. There's an orange on top of it as well. But tell me how you've done goose and how we should do goose.
How I've done goose. There's basically, it doesn't take very long. It's an enormous thing, a goose, but it's mostly whole. It's mostly cavity. Yeah. The breasts are actually only about kind of a couple of inches, if that, thick. So you've only got to cook it to the tune of the legs, the leg joints. So it really doesn't take, enormous thing, doesn't take long at all. About hour and a half.
Okay. And what did you prepare it with? How did you do it? Because it looks quite glazed.
Started it high. Turned it down low once the skin, because obviously you've got that delicious skin, you know, lovely, lovely, like goose fat skin, delicious, delicious. And then when it was very nearly cooked, I got some marmalade, last year's marmalade, my marmalade, blitzed it up, bit of five spice in there, because you've got that duck à l'orange kind of thing, because it is kind of like duck, but it's just a bit meatier.
Okay.
A bit gamier. So, you know, get those kind of flavours and a bit of five spice for just that word that people love, put a twist on things. So my twist on this...
Yes.
Chefs like Hazel, that stuff, like on a bed of, it's just these words that drive us nuts. But anyway, it's a twist...
There's lots of knowing chef laughter here.
Here's
my twist.
On, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And what's a top tip? Twist on this is that it's got a bit of five spice in it. And so marmalade, five spice, brushed it on, and then the last 10 minutes like that. And that's why it's come out looking quite so sort of like something that Henry VIII might sit down to.
It does look quite Henry VIII. I must say, so the big nervousness here in the radio studio, apart from the fact we've got our lovely fire warden sitting in here just in case anything goes wrong, is there's a blowtorch. And the blowtorch, I was just saying earlier, our most elderly aunt has bought us a blowtorch recently, which I'm quite nervous about. She rocked up, pulled out her handbag, brand new with the gas canister next to it. I'm too scared to use it. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with the blowtorch. On the goose?
Yes, I'm going to re-glaze my goose.
Okay.
Because it did get glazed at about 1:30 last night. And it's, you know, it's a few hours later. And I'm going to re-glaze it to heat it for you.
Right.
And to give it a nice shine. Yes, we have got the man here.
He's going to look after me.
Yeah. So here's the glaze. I'm going to put a bit more on. Do you want to try it? Just like that?
Yeah.
Just
try it. So this is the glaze that's gone.
So this is the homemade marmalade, the last of the 2014 vintage. Ooh. Blitzed up with a little bit of...
Vintage.
Vintage! blitzed up with a bit of fire spice. Get the fire spice?
Yeah, I've got the fire spice.
So it's got that little bit of ducky fire spice.
It's going well with my tea.
Well, it's a herbal tea.
Yeah, it's a herbal tea.
It should be all right.
It's all okay.
Should
be all right. So you're putting that all over the goose.
So I'm going to put a bit more of this on the goosey, like this. Yeah, my girlfriend used to be in the fire service. So we have lots of... Because I'm a chef and I like flames. And, you know, so we have sort of lots of... we've got, I think, four different fire retardants. Is that the word? Yes.
Yes.
A nod from the fire.
Nod from the fire. fire officer in the corner.
In our kitchen, because she gets very nervous.
So you're putting that all over the goose.
Yes.
And now we're going to get the blowtorch, which is the most exciting.
Why did your 91-year-old nanny, granny...
Yeah, she just saw it, I think, online. And I don't know what website, but thought it'd be a good idea. Maybe she wants me to make her a dessert. Listen to that.
I think she wants you to make her a creme brulee.
Yeah. I think creme brulee.
That's her subtle hint.
There's more to a blowtorch than a brulee. You know, they're not just for Christmas.
They're not, are they? Look at this. Okay, so we're glazing the bird now with a blowtorch.
We are glazing the bird.
The blowtorch is very close to the microphone, which everyone's looking quite worried about. Now it's on fire.
No one's going to like that. It was only time. Aromatics. Aromatics.
It's looking great. Yotam, what meat do you do on Christmas Day?
I think I'm going to have goose this year. Normally we have
goose as well.
Yeah. Normally we have turkey. But I blame it on my in-laws because they are quite traditional and I don't. My mother-in-law would kill me if she wouldn't have a turkey. So I just think about my life and her sanity. But normally...
So you are doing turkey this year?
But this year they're spending time with the other kids, so we are free to do what we want. And I will have a goose, because I think goose is, like Allegra said, it's just so much more tasty. And, you know, it's just it's not just a chefy thing, it's just got more flavour.
Trina, you're nodding. What meat do you do?
I'm doing duck and roasted pork. That's a traditional Danish thing.
That's the traditional. To have two meats.
Yeah, I have a motto for Christmas, is that don't mess with Mama's Christmas, so I do it. The same way.
The same way as your mum.
No twist.
No twist.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not for twist for Christmas.
Straight
love
up.
Love it the rest of the year.
Okay. And I was just going to say, because you mentioned goose, is do you need quite a big one to feed a lot of people? How big? Because you said there's not that much meat.
Duck and pork. Did you say duck and pork? And we're basically doing the same thing. I mean, a goose is basically a big duck. And then a ham, just because you've got to do something for the bulk.
The
and then key, most important thing, sausages.
Right.
You have to back it up with some bangers.
Back up.
Yeah, back up bangers. Definitely.
I was just going to say, I'm doing beef. Any tips?
Oh,
you're all really upset with that. No one's liking the poultry that much in my family. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Absolutely
Top tip?
Top tip, spend the money.
Right. Yeah.
Spend the money.
Invest.
You invest in a good chunk.
And I would just say something nice on the outside, like a little crust. I mean, we don't like to kind of reinvent things. But, you know, if you do take some of, five spice, you can use some also a mixture of black peppercorns and different peppercorns, and just rub the skin on the outside. You'll get lots of nice peppery flavors.
Okay, very nice. I will listen. I promise. I'll listen back to this program and remember what you've said.
Yeah.
On the Wonderful Women's Hour podcast, we should just say you're doing some carving there, Allegra.
Yeah, I'm getting in. Your leg.
I like leg. Yeah, I'm a leg woman. So just tell me, Yotam, why don't you make your way over? Because we're going to talk about your size.
I've got a knife envy when it comes to Allegra. She's got a 700
knife. I like the fact, Allegra, tell me how you're carving it, because there's a bit of hand action going on
as
well.
Woman with meat.
You have just hacked that off. I'm going to describe it. What have you just done? You just hacked off the side.
Okay, no, I haven't. I haven't just hacked off the side. I'm chef for 20 years, Emma. I have not just hacked off anything. Look how beautifully that's done.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
If you ignore the mess on the hand, that is a very well, perfectly taken off leg.
I love it.
So basically, you want to take the leg, to get the most out of your goose, and then, as I said, you have to get the most out of it because there isn't so much on it. You want to take the legs off and carve them up separately, and then just take the breasts off and slice them.
Okay. So in terms of, you carry on with the goose for a moment. Let me come to you, Yotam. You're going to
please.
Be doing the sides, aren't you? As mentioned, you're doing sprouts. Why don't you start us off with what's happening with those?
Yeah, so I've got some Brussels sprouts here that have literally just been trimmed at the base and cut into two lengthwise. So you've got like Brussels sprout halves, and I've got some olive oil in a pan. So what I'm doing is exactly the opposite of what you normally do or people normally do with sprouts, and that is boil them. Which makes them go quite grey if you're not really, really careful.
So boiling the sprouts?
Not boiling the sprouts. Raw sprouts, they go into the pan, and I'm just getting the oil hot, really hot. And they go straight in. The noise will start coming soon, as soon as the
I have never had fried sprouts.
You've never had fried sprouts. Pan-fried sprouts, so don't be bothered by the oil. I mean, olive oil is good for you.
Yeah.
I say every oil is really good for you, as long as you don't have too much.
Okay.
And they're just going to fry there, and I want them to get really, really nice and brown. So, you know, you want to get charred on the outside and a slight resistance in the middle. I think Brussels sprouts go really better when they're overcooked.
Okay.
And when you roast them in the oven or finish them off in a pan like this, you just get charred on the outside and the inside stays raw, like I said, and then you don't get that bitterness that involves the overcooking. So now they're just starting to get some color.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some that I made earlier, and I'm going to add to the sprouts that are warm and off the from the frying pan.
Ones we made earlier.
Something I made earlier, which is caramelized cloves of garlic. And this is, apart from peeling the garlic, which is not a big deal. I mean, get your kids involved on Christmas Eve. It's absolutely, on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Your hands smell for the rest of the festivities, but it's fine.
It's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
I take these whole garlic cloves and blanch them in water, drain, and cook them again with sugar and balsamic vinegar. And you get this wonderful caramel sauce around it, which is really, really beautiful. And
How long does that take? It does look really beautiful.
Yeah, it takes about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And the cloves just get beautifully caramelized and cooked. And I'm going to add those to the Brussels sprouts. I've got Allegra helping me here. So I've got an assistant, which is good.
We've got chef collaboration.
People that know me know that I don't do very well without assistants. I'm kind of one of these. Yeah.
Not exactly. Sure she's all right with that.
Sorry, listen, I've got the goose. He's my wingman.
He is your wingman, literally.
And very happy to be.
Yeah.
So you're adding the caramelized shallots now to the
sprouts. I'm adding the caramelized garlic.
Excuse me.
To the Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts, got
that
it.
That have come off the heat.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to add a couple of other tricks. You know, you're having me today, and I'm a man of many ingredients.
You
people
are.
Will tell you, with a slight complaint in the tone, but, you know, that's
no,
how
no,
it
no.
is.
No, no, no. We love you for it.
Oh, good.
Everybody loves you for it.
Lemon skin.
Yeah.
Julienne, or cut into very thin strips, and then cooked in sugar syrup, just water and sugar, until it's not that bitter anymore. And I just take all these lemon strips and put them in with my caramelized garlic and Brussels sprouts. So that's a little
I
bit of
I should say, if you're struggling to follow this, we will put all of this onto the website under our Cook the Perfect.
I'm going to be the one that
No,
people
no,
will...
no, but people...
But also look at the colours.
Right. But don't forget your time. I do need to hear about your second dish. So tell me a little bit about
second
that, because you're mixing
dish,
up all those ingredients
nicely.
I've got nice
root vegetables, sweet potato, pumpkin, celeriac, that have been just boiled in water. Unlike the Brussels sprouts, they were boiled. And I'm going to add some cooked pie lentils. So you've got these specks of lentil in with a root mash. And next to it is shallots that have been braising for a long time in red wine and with some butter added at the end. So you got like a plate with beautiful root mash speckled with those lentils and the shallot on top. So that's all coming
in
a second.
We've got quite a lot of tweets, actually, from vegetarians coming in. This obviously sounds lovely to have on, regardless of whether you're a meat eater or not. But what would you say to vegetarians to have as their main dish on Christmas?
As their main dish, I think... So I've been thinking about that because I'm the person that tells vegetarian, eat a lot of different things. You know, put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Don't try to emulate the kind of the turkeys because you're not going to have a turkey. So it's better to have
nut roast.
A platter of... Yeah, don't have your nut roast. Don't make anything look grey because grey is not a nice colour or brown. Do colourful things. Take, you know, nice aubergine and cook them with chilies and put that at one end of the table. And the other side of the table, took some roasted peppers... stuffed
so
with
lots of
rice or
bulgur,
lots of wonderful things. And, you know, you don't have to have a turkey envy if you're a vegetarian. There's so much more vegetarians can do.
Well, no, I was going to say, you grew up in Jerusalem and your cooking is very influenced by Middle Eastern side of things. Tell me a little bit about what sort of stuff people would be eating over there, do you think,
so,
for Christmas?
Muslims and Jews don't celebrate Christmas, but there is...
the festive period,
yes,
there are obviously Christians.
Kind of
there are Christians
thing.
In Jerusalem.
I just want to get this out of the way, because I'll be
heard of Bethlehem?
Accused of kind of posturing. There are Christians in Jerusalem, Palestinian Christians, and they normally have a whole bird, often a turkey or a chicken, stuffed with frike, which is a green wheat with fruit and nuts. Wonderful.
Okay.
They also have something called mansaf, which is lamb that is cooked with saffron and then have yogurt added to it. So you get it, you
saffron
set up your
platter.
Saffron
is the most expensive thing in the world.
Sorry,
can I just say saffron.
Saffron is, but you don't need a lot of it.
Okay.
And if you don't have a lot of money, you can substitute with turmeric, which gives the same effect. Colour-wise, not flavour-wise.
Oh, Allegra's not looking happy.
Allegra is
not happy. Not happy with that. Well, it makes it yellow. It's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, but Allegra, you know, not everybody can afford this.
I was going to come on to the money side of it in a minute, but before I do, Trina, for you, back at home, you mentioned the pork and the duck. What do you usually have on the side? Because we're talking about sides.
We always have something with kale, and my grandmother would cook it. So it was, yeah, not, you know, really brown and in a white sauce. I don't really care for that, so I always do a kale salad with pomegranates and a lime dressing.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
That's
and then
a
we
nice
do
idea.
Yeah, and then we do cooked red cabbage.
Yes, of
with
course.
With vinegar and lots of spices, which I really love. And but the biggest thing and the most important side is the caramel potatoes.
Wow, caramel.
Oh, caramel potatoes.
That
so
is like candied yams from
yes,
America.
Yes. So okay. You boil little potatoes.
Yeah.
And cool them down, and then you kind of cover them in caramel, coat them like cook them slowly for half an hour until there's layers of caramel on them.
Okay, well, Trina, you're doing our dessert. Let
yes.
me welcome you over to the madness.
Can and I should just have said add that Allegra is munching on a leg.
Allegra
of
is
goose,
now munching.
The best part.
She's looking like a female Henry VIII with a bit of goose just hanging out her mouth. It's brilliant. No, I'm going to look like that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yotam, I was just going to say, money-wise, it's obviously, you know, difficult economic times in the country and everywhere, really. And a lot of this stuff looks amazing, but it's quite costly. Are there any tips that you've got for kind of budgeting?
First of all, I think that it is if your Christmas meal is vegetable heavy, it doesn't need to be expensive. I mean, I think like do less meat and more vegetables in your cake.
I did actually read this morning that sprouts are going to be half the price they were last year, so
really?
We're all in luck because
well,
there was a good
there
harvest.
You go. And there's so much you can do with sprouts, and then sometimes cheap meat is minced meat. And you can do a lot. Like in the part of the world where I come from, we do a lot of stuffed vegetables where you take mince and extend it by adding a grain to it like bulgur wheat, like rice, and then stuffed vegetables. So it looks amazing. It takes a lot of time, but it's cheap to make.
Okay. Well, let's move on to dessert. Trina, why did you choose this rice pudding? Which, should I say, I've heard you describe as it's like eating velvet and it's the best pudding on the planet. So high expectations.
yes. It is my favourite pudding. I cooked last night in Denmark, took it with me on the plane.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
I love the fact our food's come from all over today.
So I boiled a rice porridge and with a lot of vanilla.
Yep.
And then this morning when it's cold, I'm adding some sugar. And I'm going to chop a lot of almonds to put into it. And then I'm going to, you know, also fold in whipped cream in the end.
Okay. So I should say, you've mentioned the almonds there. Now, there's a bit of a game, isn't there, where you're from in Denmark. What's the
game? So you see this whole almond?
Yes.
When I serve it for you, you have to get it right from the bowl and get this. Then you get the almond present.
What's the almond present?
I'm not going to tell you.
I need an incentive.
That is a surprise. Every family have their own tradition for it. So it's a little bit like your sixpence. But
maybe
yes, it's a very, very serious game. And this is my daughter. She was 12 before she had it the first time.
Do you have to get it on the first spoon in?
No. You don't know who's going to get it. So it's like a game. You eat slowly, and there's a lot of really roughly chopped almonds in there as well. So you have to kind of eat slowly and, you know, I got it. No, you didn't. You know, it's that kind of game.
My mother-in-law
really
is Swedish, and I was telling her I was going to meet you today. I was very excited, and I misread what the thing was that's hiding in the rice pudding. And I said, there's a conker. There's a conker hiding, and everyone's got to find it. She looked at me and went, Emma, I don't think you've got that correct.
No.
So do carry on. What goes in the cherry sauce? Because that's hot.
Yeah, the cherry sauce is like I boiled cherries with sugar and water, and then I've made it a little bit thicker with a cornstarch and then some vanilla again.
Are they dried cherries?
Wow. No. In the summertime, I will pick some cherries and freeze them. That's how serious I take Christmas.
Trina, nice. this is her vintage. Your marmalade. We've got the vintage cherries.
Yes.
So these cherries have come from Denmark today.
Yes.
This is brilliant.
And they're here.
These are precious cherries.
Yes, very
precious.
And the very important thing is the cherry sauce should be a bit acidic because the rice pudding is it's really sweet.
Okay.
So you get a bit of a balance. And I only eat this pudding on Christmas Eve, but for me it's the best.
And you've never met anyone who doesn't like it?
No.
No one's dare tell you. Okay, this is the challenge. Because as I say,
I don't think that will happen today.
Everyone's got school dinner memories in Britain. Yes. Some really bad rice pudding. Is it true that in Denmark you hold hands and dance around the Christmas tree?
Yes, we do. We sing carols.
Jotam does that as well.
Yeah, no, I do that.
We can do it in the end. Okay. Yes, we do.
You
yes,
actually do that because that sounds terribly happy.
It is. We love, I mean, Christmas for us is a very serious thing, and it starts on the first Sunday of Advent, which was 2 weeks ago, and then we start celebrating. We start, you know...
I should say, as we're talking, you're putting what
on
the
hob? Yeah, I'm going to heat up the cherry sauce now, and I'm going to adjust it with a bit of vanilla, and I'm going to say, it has to be real pots of vanilla.
Okay, yep, you are holding a real pod, I can confirm.
I mean, it's really, really important, because if you use a vanilla extract down in your rice pudding, it's not going to be the same.
Okay.
But it's also very important when you've taken out all the pots of vanilla, put it into sugar, and you can make your own vanilla sugar as well.
Right.
So it's not wasted.
So there's two uses for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were saying you take the celebration of Christmas in Denmark terribly seriously. That's what I like. And the main meal, correct me if I'm wrong, is that on Christmas Eve? Is it on the 24th?
Yeah, so it's 24th December. We eat around 6 o'clock, start with a glass of champagne, and then we sit down to this feast.
Nice.
And... I'm just going to whip the cream a little.
It just sounds so civilized.
And then we,
eat.
Civilized. And then we eat and eat and eat, of course. And then we have a Christmas pudding and the game with the almond. And then we dance around the tree, sing 4 or 5 carols.
How long do you dance around the tree? I'm obsessed.
Half an
with
hour
that.
Or something.
It's Allegra, seriously. Are you going to do that? You've got two kids.
If you ever want to see it, you've got to go to Ingrid Bergman's movie, The Alexander.
Okay.
And you can see it. And in the end, you take each other's hands and you... I'm dancing
in. So
and then you sing this julen var lite påske. So, and that's the end of it. And then you have some...
What does that mean?
That means now it's Christmas again, and it will go on till Easter.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And so then after that, you like, everybody's like this, you know, in the couch. I have to describe it, lying in the couch, really exhausted. And then it's ready for all the cookies and chocolate that you made all through December, and you start opening presents one by one, really slowly, and then you have some coffee, and then all the avec starts coming, and it's until 2 or 3 o'clock in the night.
It's also organised.
It is so lovely.
Organised fun, Allegra.
Organised fun. I mean, the idea of doing anything, organising anything for 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, but that is maximum mayhem time in our house.
And those coffees in the middle of the night, I mean, that also is like, who would stop drinking and start drinking coffees?
The best thing is then 2 o'clock when everybody's away on their way to bed, you sneak out in the kitchen and you have a little bit of everything leftovers because you had an appetite because of the coffee.
Okay, well that's... Shall we try that?
Yeah, you should come to
yours. We've got some questions, Allegra, about goose fat. How can you actually collect it and what can you do with it?
So you want to roast your goose on a trivet. So basically, if you can raise it in some way, then the fat will just drip out and just sit in the bottom of the pan, the roasting tray. So, for example, from this goose here, this morning I strained off about a litre of goose fat.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's great. Really
so,
good.
And then you can keep that for how long?
The rest of your life.
Really? Yeah, just to keep it in the fridge?
Back of the fridge, yeah.
Back of the fridge. Yeah, we've all got stuff at the back of the fridge. I should say all the recipes are on the Woman's Hour website now under the Cook the Perfect collection and on the homepage too. We've got all of them have come from our chef's book. So let me tell you what those are. Jotam's Plenty More, that's what that's called. Trina Henneman's Scandinavian Christmas and Allegra McEverdy's Big Table Busy Kitchen. You can also download the Cook the Perfect podcast on our website separately. I should say it's all looking and smelling wonderful. We've got a plate of these beautiful looking sprouts. I have to say they never usually look that green when they get out of the boiling.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. The colour stays so much more vibrant when you don't cook them that much. I also have to say that I added some chopped red chili, nice for the colour.
Yes,
and some
nice
fresh basil leaves as well. So it's got quite a lot of vibrancy going on. And that's what you want from your sprouts. I mean, if you have the first impression, the visual impression that you have is dull, then the whole experience will be dull. But if you've got lots of colour, then it just taints everything in a colourful way.
It is bursting with colour, I can confirm, and we will taste shortly. If you have any questions for our three wise chefs, though, email us via the website, bbc.co.uk/womanshour, and we'll try and answer some of them in the programme if we can. Obviously, I've got to eat. But if not, Jotam and Trina are staying on after the programme to answer some of them in the podcast, and we will get to answering some of them. So don't forget, though, you can subscribe to the Woman's Hour podcast for free. All details are online. Now, while we spoke, some beautiful plates made it over to the other side of Laura and I. And my stomach can't really take it any longer. And having promised I was going to eat as much as possible, I'm now going to keep my word on that. So I've got my knife and fork and I'm going to tuck in, which I'm sorry for you at home. You're going to be terribly jealous. Where shall I start? Have we got some meat? Should I take a bit of meat?
You're looking at a goose.
No, I know, but I can't rip it off. Okay,
I carved that bit for you.
Thank you so much.
And I carved it even smaller so you don't have to...
Great. Yeah. Okay, here I go. I'm going for goose, hovering over a place of sprouts.
We're also going to go for goose right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait, actually.
Okay, your promises. Laura, come around and have a bit. I think we've got...
Let me cut it for her. From tearing.
Oh, there are some forks. I should offer everybody. The goose is incredibly juicy. Mm. No danger of...
Isn't the marmalade amazing on it?
And it's very, Laura, do you have a seat so we can still hear what you think about the bite? That is beautiful.
And you know what? I didn't tell you this because I felt too embarrassed, but I don't really like marmalade, which was brave of me to try your mix. But it's gorgeous on that.
Yeah,
I can't believe it. Just a little bit.
Emma, I mean, the thing is...
Why are you keeping the Brussels sprout to yourself?
I am. So sorry. That was really selfish. Okay, this is the big test, Autumn, because Brussels sprouts, I'm going to take one and pass on. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. This is my favourite thing.
They are so boring often, and they just lead to flatulence, not happiness. So let me just go for this. Mm. Absolutely different to anything I've had before. Mm. They taste more like mini cabbages rather than stewed...
Trina was saying earlier when
the
we were outside,
amazing.
She was saying if everybody got their brassicas, their cabbages charred in such a way, they'd love cabbage.
Mm. I'm having some stuffing. Sorry, I've got to try this as well. Just been handed to me by Allegra.
Allegra, it's so good.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Okay, I've got
Christmas
to get a bit of mash. Bit of mash.
The basil's the best. It's really good with the basil.
Absolutely gorgeous. Mm. Oh, the mash. Okay, and now. As if by magic, I'm going to move straight onto my dessert, practically while I still have meat in my mouth.
You have to continue until you...
You're approaching this like a bush tucker trial or a bush tucker.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Thanks. So this is important. Okay. This is my tradition.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. God. Okay, we are going to continue talking about this and saying how that rice pudding is absolutely gorgeous. It's tasting absolutely beautiful. I should just say, once we're finished with the goose, Allegra, what are you going to do with the carcass?
Well, it has to be stock. And actually, my plan for that is I'm going to make a stock out of that later tonight. And then that's going to be the basis for my Christmas Day gravy.
Oh, so it's all being used. No waste.
No waste.
Trina, we've got enough rice pudding. And I have to say, I'm really upset because I didn't find the almond.
Yeah, but it's in there.
Okay,
so I'm going to keep working.
I'm going to have to keep on working.
That's what the game is about, you know?
Tom, do you think you've succeeded? Can you convince the nation of sprouts?
Well, I think I can. I mean, I think if you just give them enough love, the sprouts will give you love back. And I think that's the main message of this event. Because, you know, it's Christmas and you want sweet and you want spices. You don't want dull food.
Yotam Ottolenghi, thank you very much. Trina Hahnemann, thank you. And Allegra McEverdy on the goose, thank you.
You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.